Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. My name is Stacey Lunsford. We would like to welcome you tonight. Our topic of discussion is the imposter and fraudulent behavior part two. And my co-host tonight is none other than Erica Burnett. How are you tonight?
I'm great, Miss Stacey Lunsford. How are you?
Oh, I am doing well. Thank you. I'm excited about tonight's topic. And what'd you think about the song? I went old school with TLC.
Well, you know, I love TLC, so okay. But I hadn't heard that song in years. years was last time I heard that song. And it's amazing because they kind of break it. It's amazing. They break it down. They really do break it down in that song. I was listening to the words.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Love it. Love it. They got right to the point.
They did. And they even, you know, that old song, you know, about backstabbers, they smile in your face. They even had that part in there in the beginning. And I said, well, this is an excellent song to open up with and just straight to the point, and we jump right in it. And what you have for us tonight?
All right. Tonight, well, you know what? I'm co-hosting. I appreciate you. I appreciate you for allowing me to co-host again. But we're going to do like we always do and ask people to tell a little bit about themselves. So, and I think it's just me and you right now, if I'm correct. So why don't you start by telling everyone who you are. You know, this is your show.
Well, my name is Stacy Lunsford. For those of you that are listening, maybe we have some first-time people via the internet. Nice to meet you. I am a published author and the producer for the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, and I am passionate about helping people. I love to write inspirational messages of hope to encourage people, and I just try my best to give my best with all things and see the best in other people. Sometimes all we do is see the negatives, but if we look beyond that, we'll find that everybody has a precious gem inside of them. So I'm just a distributor of God's love.
Oh, that's wonderful. We need more distributors like you. let me point that out. You can never have too many, okay? Never have too many.
Amen.
Man, I'm Erica Burnett. For those of you who don't know me, Miss Stacy is always supporting me and, you know, pushing me to do different things and to grow and stuff like that, because you know, anyone who's listening who knows me knows that Erica likes to sit in the background. Pretty much I'm on the background, folks, so I don't really like to be in the forefront. But evidently there's something else that the Creator has for me, so I'm not going to stand down from it. I'm going to accept the challenge and grow as much as possible. So I thank Stacy for, you know, doing that for me and pushing me and giving me homework, which I don't particularly want no homework, but she can give it to me anyway. So I'm a certified life coach. And the owner of a coaching business called Pathways of Reflection, where I help, you know, I'm a listening ear, and I help people to, you know, get a plan together to kind of live a more peaceful and better life for themselves. And I also own a stationery business. I make handmade stationery, and it's going on 10 years next year. It'll be the 10-year mark that I've been in business, so I can't wait. I'm looking forward to that. But we have a nice little topic, and this is a part two to the topic that we had. I think we did that part one was in May, right? I think it was in May.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was called the Imposter Fraudulent Behavior. And I gave like a little synopsis as to why I chose that topic, particularly because I ran into one on Instagram, and I'm sure many of people who are listening have run into them. You have people who hacking into other folks' accounts and posing as other people, and they using high-profile people who are very respected, and they're taking their identity and just using it for whatever have you. So I thought that would be interesting, and was talking about, you know, we touched on a lot of different things about how, you know, dangerous that is for someone to do that. We talked about what could possibly cause someone to feel as though that they need to put on a fake personality to get what they want, attention or whatever have you. And I think some of those topics are feelings of inadequacy growing up, you know, sibling rivalry, which means in the home, why can't you be more like your brother or your sister or whatever have you, and no safe spaces. They feel as though they don't have a safe space to be themselves. So they put on a persona of, you know, what everyone is basically, well, what they think people are looking for to make others happy. And then it's self-preservation, you know, I really am not ready to get my feelings hurt or whatever have you, so let me just block this right here and act like somebody else and just kind of, you know, pull myself back a little bit because maybe folks won't like who I am. And then there's a fear of people not liking who I am. So that kind of, you know, piggybacks off the other thing. And then trying to fit in, which is a big one, which is like peer pressure. It's like a part of peer pressure when you're trying to fit in. So tonight, Stacey, before I move on, did you want to add anything?
No, you are touching base on, you know, really good points. And right now I'm good. I'll jump in a little later.
Okay.
But I love what you said. I love what you said about, you know, not wanting to get the feelings hurt. And I believe that a lot of people hold back, and they pretend to be something that they're not because they want to be a part of who's who. And that's, you know, even downplaying, knowing that God gifted them with this beautiful light and that they can be have a great positive impact on somebody else, but they play it down just to, you know, they this beautiful rainbow color and they decide to be this gray color so that they can fit in and hide their light and hide their gift. So I think that's good to highlight that.
Wonderful, yeah, and that goes on a lot, and especially it starts at a young age. What I wanted to talk about, well, one of the things I wanted us to discuss was the dangers of the, you know, putting on a fake facade, the dangers of wearing a mask, you know, putting on that front and posing as someone that is not yourself. And I want to discuss the dangers of what it could do to the person, the one who is putting on that facade. What do you believe are some of the dangers that it can cause a person to actually do something like that? And there are some dangers to it.
Yes. Well, we do have another one of our panelists came on, Leisha Proby. So I want to just give her an opportunity to introduce herself since this is her first time being on the panel. She was a guest before. So Alicia, Erica Burnett is our co-host tonight, so she's leading, you know, everything. But I just wanted to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself so that our listeners will know who you are as we continue with the discussion.
Good
okay,
evening, everyone. My name is Alicia.
Okay.
I just wanted to just jump on here and just listen to see what you ladies and possibly gentlemen are discussing tonight. I just jumped on, so it's a little bit loud in my background, but I'm mostly honored when it's time to sit down and have conversation because we need to know how we need to be better. So I appreciate this topic, and it is a good topic, and I might come back on. So thank you.
Okay.
All right.
You're welcome.
Nice to meet you, Miss Alicia.
Okay. So what was your question?
Okay. The question was, is that what are some of the dangers of wearing a mask for the actual person who is putting on that fake persona? What are some of the dangers that they encounter within themselves, and also what are the dangers that that behavior causes for the lives of other people?
Well, one, falsehood, deception, concealment. A mask is used to cover something up, is used to disguise something. So for people that choose to wear a mask, it hides their true identity. It hides not only their positive characteristics, but it also hides their negative characteristics. Now, depending on how that person feels about themselves, they probably don't want you to see the negative thing, so they put that mask to make sure they camouflage that area well. Not understanding that some people look at those negatives and they just see diamonds in the rough. You know what I mean? and we can, you know, everybody filter things differently. But I just like to look at the good and the bad and to see something good in it, because I just believe there's good in all of us. But going back to that mask, sometimes it's okay to wear a mask when you are protecting yourself. And then sometimes you say some of the consequences of wearing a mask. Sometimes the consequences is not really being yourself and not allowing people to get to know you, the real you. And so they deal with you from like behind a smoke screen. And, you know, the only thing that's coming out is deception. Deception and, like, falsehood. And when we think about, you know, why people wear a mask, people wear a mask for several reasons. Some people have been, you know, sexually assaulted, and they don't know how to handle what they went through, so they wear this mask to camouflage, to cover it up, and put that smile on their face. Oh, I'm okay, everything is fine. But underneath the surface, you know, they're wounded and they're hurt. But we understand the mask. But and you know, at some point, they need to address what's going on underneath that mask. And then sometimes we'll, you know, I'm a single parent. There were times when I wore a mask because I didn't want my children to see my down moments. Now, I've grown since then. It's like, look, if you see me down, I'm down. Pray for me, you know. But I didn't want them to worry about me. So it has its good sides and it has its bad side. But depending on if that person that is wearing the mask, when that mask really becomes the truth, then that's dangerous to me, because that could take you to the place of no return. Because you come into agreement with the lies that's attached to that mask. And in order to really be healed and delivered, I believe you have to take that mask off and confront the issues underneath it.
Oh, that was really good. That was really good. You touched on a lot of great points about wearing that mask. It can leave you, like you said, behind the scenes, people are wounded and things of that nature. But, I mean, if you don't work through that and, you know, get that courage up to kind of show people who you are, then, you know, they can't help you. They can't help you work through that, and we're all here to help. And that's another way I'm going, but I'm not going to go right now, but that's another way about, we're going to, you know, touch on how do people get to the point of removing that. We're going to get to that, like, a little later. Ms. Alicia, would you like to weigh in on a question?
I want to weigh in a little bit later. I'm trying to change my baby's pamper.
Oh, okay. I know that pamper is more important. I get it. Okay. I get it. Okay. Now, I'll just point out a few things. What I was thinking about in regards to people, the dangers of wearing that mask, I mean, the danger, you know, that they cause on themselves, basically one, in my opinion, is they lose who they are, meaning they
yes.
wear that mask so long and they try to pretend so hard that they literally lose who they really are. They look in that mirror every day and they have no clue as to what they want to do that, you know, with themselves that day. It's like them looking at a completely different person. It's almost like, it's nothing like, but when I think about it, there was a movie called, and now I'm having like a little brain issue right now, but it was a woman who had multiple personalities, and I think she had over 10 personalities in one body, and she did not know from one minute to the next who she was. So can you imagine looking in that mirror and you've been wearing this facade for so long, you don't know who you are anymore, you don't know anything about yourself, that you have taken on the personalities of so many different people for whatever your reasons are. You just lose yourself, which is a bad, you know, which is really, really a bad thing because, you know, we're all created wonderfully, and we were never, ever supposed to be anybody else. So can you imagine the internal fight that somebody goes through when they're trying to please other people, you know, instead of being themselves and taking care of who they are? So that's one. And then there's another one about trust. That means people don't trust you. Once they find out, because you will be found out, when you are being fake, you are found out because you can only hold that facade for so long. So somebody eventually will find out exactly who you are and what you're about when you, you know, when you try to hide your life, when you try to do this little secret life thing. Somebody's going to find out. You know, some, and that's always the case. You will always be exposed. Now, whatever your reasons are, I believe some people are broken. They're hiding. But you also have some people who are just evil, and they just out to do whatever. But either way, you know, you will be found out by somebody. And that way, people won't trust you, and, you know, they'll stay away. So you'll end up being alone. You know what I mean? Which is what we are not supposed to be. We're here to be relational. We're here to have relationships with one another. So those are the things that I saw were, you know, dangerous to the person who put it on that side. And then on the other side of that, what they do to others is they hurt people's feelings. Like, can you imagine, you know, waking up, you in a relationship, and you waking up with somebody, and you find out that, you know, their name is not George, it's Bob, and they got a whole other family on the other side of town or in another state. Can you imagine what the shock that would be to other people that would bruise them, which causes a whole other cycle of a bunch of lies and people being wounded and people, you know, being afraid to trust. It just causes such a trickle-down effect. It affects everybody, you know, and then you just repeat that cycle over, and they do it. Somebody did it to them, and because now they're afraid, now they're going to do it to somebody else, and it just keeps going and keeps going. And at some point, we gotta do something about that, you know. So did you ladies have anything else you wanted to add?
What I like about how the conversation is going so far is right now we're dealing with self. You know, mm-hmm. Sometimes when we have these discussions, you know, we're always talking about fake people and like how they just hate on people, but we're coming from a different angle this time, which is good. And I want to raise the level of accountability for those that are listening, because many people are deceiving themselves and they're operating in self-deception and they're fake with themselves. And so what are some of the, what's going on underneath the surface that caused you to be fake to yourself, that caused you to lie to yourself? And then what are the lies that you believe from other people and what they said about you that caused you to be this imposter, to be this person that is not really who you are? Like, why can't you be your authentic self? And I think those are some of the things that we need to deal with, because sometimes self-sabotage is connected to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't see their worth. They feel insignificant. They don't feel worthy or good enough to have good things happen to them. And so they sabotage it.
Mm-hmm.
All based on this lie, the deception.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. You know, like, conversations like this, it's okay. Like, if somebody is listening and you know you get to a certain point in your life where things are going well and you're ready to take off that mask, but you're just uncertain, like, I feel like this is an area where many people struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're more afraid of being successful, so you stay with that mask and you know, you hide. But we want to help you to break free and take that mask off and like, let your hair down, let your light shine, because you're beautiful and you're going to be successful. You know, you just got to work through some things.
Yeah, and it's just a lot of time. It's the weight of the world. It's this world puts so many demands on you and what you're supposed to look like and what you're supposed to wear and how you're supposed to act. And this is it's just so many expectations that are placed on, you know, one human being to be everything that everyone else likes, to entertain everybody, to be support. It's just so much stuff. And a lot of people, especially on social media, all that stuff is thrown at you. This is what's popular. So let me do this because it's popular. Popular will get you in trouble. Popular will get you in trouble. Will have you stressed out. Popular will have you broke, okay, because you ain't got the money to be popular like that. You know what I mean? And you have not come to the conclusion, but you just want this lifestyle. You just want to see attention. And a lot of times the attention that you are seeking, you're going to wish you didn't at the end of the day. You know what I mean? It's not all it's cracked up to be. It really is not.
That's true.
So it really is not. So we got to somehow, we got to work with one another. And we got to make a safe space for folks, and that's on the next thing we're going to talk about. But we got to, it's hard because they, especially your young people, they just go after what everybody else goes after. And they're just whatever's popular. And like I said, that stuff can get you into trouble, and it's just so much out here that you guys, sometimes you have to tune out and turn that stuff off. Sometimes you got to turn the TV off. You got to get out of social media, and you just have to do that downtime where you sit and you just meditate and just think about what it is that you're here for and what it is you need to be doing. And what you need not to be doing is following everybody else.
Because
that is not a lot in life to do what everybody else is doing. You know, so did you have anything else or you wanted to say, Ms. Stacy or Miss Alicia? Because I know Miss Alicia was doing the pamper thing.
Well,
okay.
Until she's ready, I will say that I'm glad you mentioned the children, because many of our youth and young adults are being seduced in this area. And the pressure from the gangs, we have a lot of children, you know, youth at risk because of incarcerated parents, or one or the other parent, or maybe both, are strung out on drugs or alcohol. Many contributing factors there, caring for the younger siblings if they are the older one, but they are displaying behavior levels that are not true to their nature. And they're dealing with stuff at home, and then they're dealing with stuff in school and out on the street. So the choices that they're making is not like coming from a good place, because if you don't have like that strong foundation, someone you could talk to, whether it's good or bad, that can give you wise counsel and good counsel that won't hurt you or condemn you or criticize or ostracize you. I believe young people need a safe place to go where they can take their mask off. And as adults in today's society, I think collectively we've made that so hard because everybody is just negative and they speak what they see. And so when we speak what we see, whether it's negative or positive, faith is created. And so we speak situations for them that they never should have been in. So we need to be careful of what we say, and especially because we don't know their situation. We don't know their circumstances. All we see is the negative behavior. All we see is the anger. But do you know why they're angry? And it's not that we you know, accept the negative behavior, but we shouldn't be so, Erica, we shouldn't be so quick to condemn them. And I think that bothers me more than anything because we're, you know, I'm saying we're the adults here. And if I just wrote a book based on what most adults are saying about young people today, especially with the teenage girls having babies, like when I was catching the bus before I had my car, the things I would hear people say about the young people was terrible. And they would say it where they can hear. And if it was a young girl that was pregnant and on her way to school, at least she was still going to school. So, you know, I just think we need to have more platforms where young people can have the freedom to speak their truth and to, you know, take that mask off if that's what they, you know, everybody may not, like say if we had something, a rap session at a school or at a recreation center, hey, they may not want to take that mask off the first time, but maybe they'll be comfortable enough to listen and say, you know, I dig that. I can relate to that. And I just want, us to see them as they are, not by what they do. Because what they do is a poor representation of who they are. It's a lie.
Well, absolutely.
And to be honest, half the adults, the same thing. That's why I put in the post, I said, are you really who you say you are, or are you perpetrating the fraud? Because adults do it too.
Absolutely.
I'm getting excited.
And I'm glad you brought in the adults and with the conversations and they're saying things that these young people can hear. So why in the world would I tell you anything? If you think, you know, if you think like that about me and you can say that and I'm sitting here and I can hear it, what makes you think I'm going to open up to you? You know what I mean? If you're going to talk negatively about me and I'm sitting right here. Like, I mean, come on. You know what I mean? It's, how can you teach someone something when you yourself have not gotten it right yet? You cannot write these children off. Everybody has a reason for how they behave. You can't always sit there and make a judgment call and say, well, they just, no. Everybody is not just bad. Some people have been through so much trauma in their life, they don't know how to respond or react any other way than what they're doing. So we got to sometimes sit back, listen to what they're saying, watch their behavior, and figure out where it's coming from. You know, give them a chance. Talk to them, you know, for a moment. You know, nobody's perfect. And us as adults, we've been there. We done dumb stuff. We done tried to fit in. We done did all of that. We done made all kinds of mistakes and done things we ain't supposed to have been doing, trying to fit in, trying to follow our peers and stuff like that. We done done all of this stuff. So when we turn around and grow up and try to act like we Miss Perfect or Mr. Perfect and you know, stuff like that, what you think they going to do with that? I mean, come on. You can't come, you can't come at anybody like that. They need to know that they are not the only ones who have been through traumatic experiences. They are not the only ones who made mistakes. They are not the only ones who have tried to fit in and didn't. They're not the only ones who felt awkward in situations or whatever. You got to talk to these children, let them know. See, I come from an age, you know, you ain't supposed to tell your business. Whatever's done at home, stay at home. You're not supposed to say anything. Well, you can't help nobody like that. You cannot help by keeping everything to yourself. If it was not for, you know, people like Ayala Van Zandt, Oprah Winfrey, and I can name a few others who told their story. They got out there and they said, this is what happened to me. This was what happened to me in my life. And they shared their story. And they helped so many people by saying, I'm human too. What you see in front of you is a result of what happened to me years ago, but I worked through it. That's how I got here. They shared their story. So more of us have to be able and willing to share our stories with the younger generation and then walk them through it and say to them, don't say, do as I say, not as I do. That don't work. That does not work because the average person watches what you do and they follow what you do. That's what they're doing with social media. These young people are following what they see. So that, you know, do as I say, not what I do, it don't work. It does not work. So you have to live, you have to talk to them, and then you have to model it. You got to walk through it, meaning you tell them, you know, the steps that will be great for them, give them some advice, but then they got to see you walk through it. They got to see you walking that path. You can't tell them one thing and then you turn around and do something else. You going to say smoking bad for you, but they catch you on the corner smoking a cigarette. But you just told me it was bad for you. Now I'm not listening to you because you just lied. You know what I mean? We got to do better. We got to do better. We can't expect them to be better if we're not going to be better. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah. Yep. So we gonna see it. Can we get Miss Alicia? Is she ready yet? She might not be ready yet. Okay. It looks like she's not ready yet. Okay.
Okay. So all we right. could just keep flowing.
We gonna keep flowing on. Okay. So now, my next one was. I'm wondering if I should do this one next, or should I go? I'll do this one. Now we just actually segue into this next one, which is how do we get people to the point of removing that mask? So we already started talking a little bit about that already, about how we get folks to get to that point in removing, you know, that mask. And we did talk about that a little bit, but actually this next one I had was leadership's role in fraudulent behavior. So we actually talk about leadership because now if we're gonna call it now leadership is in many different places. You got leadership in the church, you got leadership in the government, you got leadership in organizations and institutions and things of that nature who are actually exhibiting fraudulent behavior themselves.
Yes.
So how, I mean, what can we, like, do about that? What are some options? What are some things that can maybe be put into place about that? Because if you got the leaders doing it, then what are these children to do if they're looking at leadership? How are they going to get out of that? If they're looking at leadership, the people who are supposed to be responsible for teaching them and guiding them in life, and they're doing this. So, what are we to do with that?
My son from Liberia, my spiritual son, Linus,
mm-hmm.
He asked me a question, and he said, Mom, what are we supposed to do, the young people? He said, we can't go to the church anymore because the church is not helping us, so where do we go?
Mm-hmm.
How do we get off the streets? Like, where's the safe place to go? And that question, it hurt. Because the church used to be a safe place. I mean, even though we know some things have happened, but the church has changed so much. And earlier I mentioned raise the standard of accountability and responsibility. Many of the churches today, God is not even at these churches. So this is a difficult topic.
Mm-hmm.
And the churches where God is, those leaders are trying their best to maintain that accountability and responsibility. And some of the members, their attitudes are like, I don't have to listen to you. I could do what I want to do. And many people feel that way. And when they take on that kind of an attitude, it makes it more difficult for that leader to fulfill his job. But when that leader is totally fraudulent and is not practicing what they are preaching, then we back to the deception. We back to the falsehood. And unfortunately, there's a lot of false people, false spiritual leaders from all of the titles that's available. Like, I just so hate titles. I understand the purpose of them, but when they're being abused and misused, it serves no purpose at all. But I believe that the people in the church need to break the silence. We talk about domestic violence, break the silence about domestic violence. Those people in the church that see what's being done wrong, they need to speak up. If everybody remains quiet and they just talk amongst each other, gossiping and slandering versus taking actions from a biblical perspective, because there's a right way to handle things in the Word of God. And so we have to learn the proper procedures to follow. And this is going to sound like a curse word. You ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Eric? Okay. This is going to sound like a curse word. We have to forgive them. Most people, when stuff happens in the church, they like, rah, 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 rah. Like they ready to bite them. They ready to rip their head off, you know. It's so much drama. And if our brother falls short of the glory of God, are we not ministers of reconciliation? Are we not supposed to restore them in love versus hatred? So one, we all need to walk in love and walk in forgiveness. And we must be willing to forgive those that are not, you know, doing the right thing. And as we give them an opportunity to do the right thing, and think about it, some people that are doing the wrong thing, if you approach them the wrong way, do you think they're going to be humble or do you think they're going to be prideful? Are they going to listen to the Holy Spirit in that moment or are they going to listen to their flesh? If they feel like they're being attacked, they're going to listen to their flesh.
Absolutely.
And so that haughtiness sets in. Then, oh, you're not going to tell me what to do, and that heart gets even more hardened, and things just get way out of control, and more people get hurt. And I'm sorry, but this is such a good topic because church hurt is big, and too many people have been hurt in the church, have left the church. Too many people have been under leadership where they have misrepresented God, where they have wore these masks, and they had the sheep head, the lamb head on, but they was a wolf underneath. Like, are you really who you say you are, or are you perpetrating a fraud? What are you covering up? Why are you out here hurting people? And do you think that nobody sees what you're doing? And what you think about people is one thing, but God sees what you're doing. He's El Roi. He sees everything. And you're only going to get away with it till he gets tired. And your grace runs out. And most people don't realize, whether it's in the pulpit, whether it's a spiritual leader, a world leader, or it's a member in the congregation, an employee. Like, everybody does their dirt. But when there's somebody else on a bigger level, we want to highlight it. But then you don't want nobody to highlight your stuff. But we're all, our grace will run out. We will get uncovered. We will be exposed. And the best thing to do is to humble ourselves and repent.
Absolutely. And a lot of times, you said a mouthful, that they, you know, folks, they're perpetrating a fraud. They absolutely are. And I believe most, it has to do with money is one. That's a huge one. I think that's number one, money. And also fear. A lot of them fear that if they go against the grain and if they, you know, the normal, what folks call normal, if they go against that, then they're afraid for their reputation. They're afraid to be found out because, you know, everybody got skeletons in the closet. And once you go into a certain realm and people know everything about you, they know what you did behind closed doors and all of that here stuff, you don't want that stuff exposed. So what happens is now you got people who are able to blackmail you. So if you don't do what I ask you to do, I'm telling all of it. You know what I mean? So they people have gotten themselves in a position where they're afraid to go against that grain, to go against, you know, truth, justice, whatever is supposed to be, you know, right or whatever. They're afraid to do it. It's fear. Then you got peer pressure. What are people going to think about me if, you know, if I stand for what I truly believe in, if I actually put out here who I am, what are folks, are they like me? And you got, like I said, you got leaders and stuff who feel that way. They're actually, you know, fighting peer pressure as a leader. But you can't, I mean, if you worried about, you know, how much of a leader are you if you worried about what somebody else thinks?
Right.
You can't, you really can't. How you going to be a leader? And you that's one thing leaders, in my opinion, should not be worried about. You are not to be worried about what somebody else thinks about you and what you're doing, as long as what you're doing is right in the sight of God himself, because he is the reason why you're here, and he is the reason for what you're doing. So you should not be focused on anybody else, but a lot of them are. A lot of them are worried about what other people
think. No, that's true.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry for cutting you off. No, go ahead and finish.
No, that's okay. That's perfectly fine. That's why I'm like, so that's why I asked that question, like, you know, what are we to do? And I think, you know, people as a whole are not vocal enough. You know, you sitting here and somebody and you ask a question, and I've experienced it. I could be I was at a Bible study one time, and I asked a question, and somebody looked at me like I was crazy, and I said, and I looked back and I was like, you know, is there a problem? You know what I mean? And I'm like, okay, so we're going to get off of that. And so what I did was I just stepped back and I said, okay, sometimes folks are not ready too. And you just got to be mindful of that folks are not ready. They're not ready for, you know, we read the Bible all the time and we look at the scriptures and stuff like that, and you go to speak something and or ask a question, and then they're looking at you like you got two heads. Well, you know, I'm asking a question and I'm putting the truth out here. This is what this says. This is
right.
My interpretation of it. This is what I get. Folks are not, a lot of times folks are not ready for the truth.
That's true.
Yeah, they're sometimes they're just not ready. And a lot of times that will hold people back from doing, because they're like, oh, they're not ready for it. They're not ready for it. And just like taking off the mask, some people are just not, they have to do it in their own time. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But you said Lisa had, she had to go, but she had a comment?
No, when she had the, she can't participate right now. Verbally,
oh.
But if she does have a comment, then I'll just read it.
Oh, okay.
Because
she
got to tend to her daughter, yeah.
Oh, okay, got you. Okay, got you. Okay, no problem at all. Okay, well, it's going pretty good. So we done touched on some nice topics thus far. And, oh, this is one that I wanted to get to. Now, we talked about, you know, people not having, I think we mentioned people not having safe space to be themselves and all that stuff. And I thought about silencing people. A lot of times we silence folks. You know, I mean, we don't allow people to say what they want to say. And you know, be who they are, and we silence them. We know that this is not the time. No, this is no, not yet. You know what I mean? We not yet. This is not the time. And we always hold people off. And I've been guilty of that. You know, hold people off. But there are some dangers of not letting people be who they are. There really are some dangers of not letting people be who they are. Folks can result to drinking and getting into all kind of vices and things of that nature, like that. So what do you believe are some of the dangers of, like, silencing people, like not allowing people to be themselves? There's a lot of us, society does, number one. Society does that to people, not allowing folks to be themselves and, you know, shutting them up and not allowing them to have a voice to say what they need to say. So what do you think some of the dangers are?
That's very dangerous. I guess it was 2001 or it might have been 2002. No, I meant not 2002. I meant either 2000, I don't know what year it was, Erica, but I did a whole series on Take Back Your Voice and Take Back Your Power.
Oh, okay.
Because the enemy has stolen so many people's voice through fear, through the traumatic experiences, through family crisis, sometimes through death, and sometimes simply by not being able to speak your truth.
Uh-huh.
And from the children on up to adults. And I don't know what conversation we had when all of the rest of the team was here and somebody said, you know, a child should stay in a child's place. We was talking about, you know, when we were younger and kids wasn't able to say certain things around adults.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the adults had to be in one room and then the adults was in the other room. Well, a lot of children was raised that way. And it was
mm-hmm.
like a child should be seen and not heard. And so what you do is teach that child that they're insignificant,
uh-huh.
that what you have to say simply does not matter enough to me to listen to you. And
uh-huh.
then children are honest. Like my middle son, he is so honest, always have been from a young age. And I would, you know, I would tell my friends or my family, I say, listen, if you don't want to know the truth, don't ask him any questions.
Uh-huh.
Because he's going to be honest with you, and he may hurt your feelings, but he's being honest. He's not being disrespectful, and you need to understand that now. Because if you handle him wrong, you're going to have to answer to me. But, I mean, and he's still that way today, Erica, and I love that about him.
Uh-huh.
But I believe that when we purposely steal another person's voice, that we work in cahoots with the spirit of robbery that wants to steal their power and their authority.
Uh-huh.
And once they steal their voice, it's nothing but silence. You know, got something to say, but I can't, it's muffled. I can't talk. I can't talk, I can't cry, I can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so it causes them to place a wall, a barrier is built. And so they hide behind that wall, and now they're isolated. And once that person is isolated, the enemy comes in for the kill. And the goal is to make them feel unworthy, you know, all of the things we talked about earlier. Make them
mm-hmm.
feel inadequate, like nothing you have to say matters, so why don't you just kill yourself? Why don't you just say it's a wrap? You know,
mm-hmm.
the enemy is very cunning with the things that he says. And if you get a person on a bad day that, I mean, look at a child as for an example, or an abusive woman, or a husband who just found out that his wife been cheating on him for the whole length of his marriage. Like, I'm talking somebody that's dealing with a deep, deep, deep hurt. And
mm-hmm.
so they're trying to release it, but the person they're trying to release it to is not listening and is cutting them off. And so the devil is right there listening, laughing. See?
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
don't matter. your life don't matter either. Don't nobody care about you. You know what? Don't nobody love you. You remember what you did a long time ago when your dad said blah, blah, blah. You know, the devil is good with manipulating people.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
So you get all of these negative thoughts, all of these negative voices coming, and if you're not strong in that moment, you will respond to that hurt and that pain and to that negativity, and that's why many people do take their lives. But
mm-hmm.
sometimes they get to that point where they are listening to the lies and it snaps them out of it because they say, hold up, wait a minute, that's not me. That's not me. I know who I am. My life does matter. You know, and then they start fighting back. But to be honest, too many people are voiceless. And too many people don't know how to speak the truth in love, even now that they have their voice back, because they've been silent for too long. Now, Psalms 35, and I love how it reads in the Message Bible, the Message version, because it's a psalm about the voiceless and how through the poverty, through the persecution, through the opposition, through the bondage, through the slavery, like through everything that they have gone through, they simply lost their voice. And so most of my ministry, Erica, as an intercessor, I hear the cries of the voiceless. And so in response to their cries, I pray what God places on my heart to pray about.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those discussions that is dear to God's heart. It's like this is the heartbeat of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we steal another person's voice, it's not their voice. It's God's voice. Because God has given each of us a voice. He has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not happy about that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have to find a better way to handle these situations. And what is standing out to me, even in marital relationships, sometimes that husband steals the voice of the wife. And sometimes
sure.
the wife steals the voice of the husband. And interactively, sometimes they steal the voice of the children. So what do the children do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could deal with this from a spiritual perspective in the church and then in the home and in the school with the counselors, with the teachers, with the classmates. Like,
mm-hmm.
what do we do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do, you know, and that's why programs like this is delicious to me, because we bring awareness to a lot of topics where it's taboo. Like,
mm-hmm.
most people are not talking about these things, but it needs to be discussed. This, I mean, I am so proud of you. This is a wonderful topic, and the questions that you're asking is really good. And I know I was long-winded with that one, but.
Oh, no, that's fine. That is fine. That is fine. I mean, it's just apparent. It's just, and a lot of times I look at some young people and I just feel sorry for them. I really do. They don't need, like, pity or anything like that. But you just feel sorry for them. You, like, this generation coming up, is you feel sorry for them. Because you, like, you're looking at all of, you know, the adults and stuff like that, and you're like, how are they, if we're out here doing foolishness and acting up, how are they going to learn anything? How are we going to teach them to do anything and to let them know what they should be doing and nurture them and to mentor them and stuff like that? If we out here acting crazy, if we don't got ourselves
mm-hmm.
together and we refuse to do the work. See, the thing about it is we all have issues. I don't care what nobody say. They can sit up here and they can pretend they ain't got them. That's a lie. Everybody has gone through something. Everybody has issues that they need to be working through. Now, some folks get to the point where they not get to the point, but they know they have issues and they don't want to work on them. They just want to sit there and marinate in it. And I get it. Don't get me wrong. Some people have been through some stuff that's very traumatic, and they don't want to relive it over again. And I understand. I can understand that. They don't want to relive it or whatever. But the only thing is, when you do something like that, when you allow yourself to just get up every morning and you make the choice to say, I'm gonna keep this buried. I'm not gonna go see a counselor. I'm not gonna work on this. And you choose to continue to push it under the rug. What happens is, it comes out little by little, the most unopportune time, and it rears its ugly head. And either way, you gonna face it, and it's gonna come out. You cannot hide trauma. Trauma always does. It reaches the surface because it needs to be out and let go. You know what I mean? So you're making a conscious decision not to work on yourself, and now you're taking that and you're bringing it to the younger generation, and they wondering what's going on because, you know, you got some issues and stuff like that you're lashing out and placing, you know, on them, not on purpose. It's not on purpose, but it's coming out. And then now you're creating a cycle. So now you've gone through this experience. Now you're putting it on them because you haven't done the work. And what they do is they're in the home. They have nowhere to go, so they think this is normal. So now they take your behavior and they duplicate it. Now they take that to their household and raise their family and do all this different stuff. And now they're doing that same thing, the same thing that they got from you, the same behavior that should have been worked on. Now they're carrying that through their lineage, through their children, which creates another cycle. That's why it's important for people to do their own work. You got to work on yourself. It is not crazy for you to go see a counselor. Why do you think we have counselors? Just like God created a doctor, created a doctor, a lawyer, you know what I mean? That's why he did that. He did that because he knew we would need these resources. He knew that. He knew we need people to talk to. He knew we could not do all of this on our own. It's important for us to have, you know, relations other people. That's why he created folks and gifted them with certain insight. So you could go to them and you could get these things worked out, you know, for your better, so you could be a better person for the child or the children who need it. But we got the stigma that you should, I'm not saying it's wrong with prayer. You always need prayer, of course, but you need prayer and you need to sit down and talk to them. I don't care what nobody say. Okay, you pray about it, and you ask God, okay, where should I go to talk to somebody? You need to, and we're not doing that. We're not doing the self-work. So that's a huge problem with wearing, you know, putting on this fake facade. We're not doing it. We refuse to. We would rather be somebody else than ourselves. And we just don't. We don't
want to
do the work. That's another issue.
And that's key. Go ahead. I'm sorry. That's key. You have to do the work. Like, uh-huh. I can't do the work for you. You can't do the work for me. And listen, I'm a survivor of domestic violence. And, you know, I lived to tell my story, and I thank God. You know, many women did not. And all of the areas of my life where I was silent because of that, let me tell you, when I broke the silence, it changed everything in my life. And earlier you asked the question, what happens when we take the mask off? Oh, my goodness. Now I can say, when you take the mask off, you take back your voice, you take back your power, you take back your authority, you begin to heal, because the beginning process of the healing process is the forgiving process. And once you get to that point where you could forgive whoever hurt you, and release them, because holding on to that unforgiveness and just meditating and thinking about it over and over, it hurts you and it causes more pain. But when you sincerely release that person, when you release that offense and you say, you don't owe me anything. If you never apologize to me again or mm-hmm. ever, I'm mm-hmm. going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, you continue to grow in all of those areas where you saw all of these 50 shades of gray. Now you see 50 different colors of rainbows. You see what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. that joy comes back. The words say weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you really, I truly believe that we overcome by the blood of the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And when we testify about what we have gone through, whether it was a traumatic experience or not, whatever it is, it sets
mm-hmm.
us free.
Mm-hmm.
It helps to promote inner healing and deliverance for other people. Because
mm-hmm.
you know what? Every single show that we have done, even every post that you make on your Facebook page, on your Instagram page, everything we do that's promoting positive energy is blessing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We may not ever know, Erica, the impact mm-hmm. that those words are having. But you
mm-hmm.
best believe it's helping somebody to get
mm-hmm.
set free.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to say to anybody that is listening, and if you have been wearing a mask because you've been concealing all of the hurt and painful things that have happened to you from your childhood up into adulthood, Erica Burnett is a life coach. And she's going to give her contact information. And if you would like assistance with moving forward and taking your mask off, I highly recommend that you reach out to her. She can help you through the process. And if you would like to reach out to me for prayer support, I will definitely help you. I specialize in healing and deliverance, but I will work with you with dealing with your root issues from a biblical perspective and release strategies to you through prayer that'll help break up the fallow ground and unplant everything that's been planted by the enemy, not by God, and get it out the way so that we can plant the positive seeds of God's word. And that may not make sense to you, but believe me, we have you covered either way you look at it. And Erica, I'm going to ask you to give your contact information.
Yes, ma'am. I do what I'm told. Okay? Okay. Erica Burnett, I am certified life coach, and the name of my coaching business is Pathways of Reflection. And I can be reached at pathwaysofreflection@gmail.com, or you can just go to the website and you can sign out, fill out the little form that I have on the website on every page, fill out your information, and I will get back to you as soon as possible. All right, so let's see where we can go. Now, this is just an open discussion because we done touched every last thing that I had on this paper. But let me see.
Okay.
I'm looking at my notes real quick. Yeah, we jumped on everything. I don't think I touched, did I touch bases on the silencing people? And I don't think I did. I don't think I said my little spiel on.
No, you didn't comment on yours.
Oh, no, I didn't comment on mine. Okay. When I looked at the silencing people because of our insecurities. A lot of times we shut folks up because we don't want them to appear to be better than we are. Intimidation. Sometimes we can be intimidated. We're not fully we haven't fully come into or agree with who we are. We're still learning who we are. We have not gotten to the point where we are very confident in who we are. We don't know who we are a lot of times. And sometimes we'll do that. I've seen it happen countless number of times when people, because folks, I'm ignored. I don't know how many times I get ignored constantly, okay? I just put it out there. Folks ignore me constantly. I have been ignored plenty of times in previous years or whatever have you. And I was actually just talking to a girlfriend of mine about that. And she said, well, how do you, you know, what's going on? How do you deal with that? I said, you know what, how do I deal with that? I said, is that I have to realize that, you know, some people need the attention. So, you know, and God says to me, they need this attention, Erica. You know, you're fine. You just let it go. And that's what I do. A lot of times people are just not, they silence you because they don't want to be upstaged by you. And that's for anybody who is out there who is silenced and who feels as though they're silenced and, you know, folks don't want to hear what you got to say or whatever have you. That's for a reason. And it's not, and a lot of times I can see how somebody would feel inadequate because when someone silences you, they ignore you and they don't want you to say anything and they just skip over you or whatever have you. A lot of times it's because they may know you got yourself together, and they don't want to be upstaged. They don't want you to make them look like a fool, so they don't want you to say anything. And that happens a lot of times. Something like that is that when people don't have, they're not confident in who they are. Let me say it like that: when a person is not confident who they are and who they are, and someone silences them, that makes them feel less than. And people don't realize that. So the person who really has an issue with who they are is the one who's silencing you a lot of times. They're insecure about who they are, so they're going to shut you up, which makes you feel insecure and inadequate. So now you're like, okay, so what do I do with this? And if that happens enough time, that's when that fake personality comes in. That's when they sit back and they put on this mask. And don't get it twisted. Being quiet is a mask, too. Because you got some folks out here who are very vocal, but you would never know it because they have been silent so many times. And now it has become a part of who they are. Not become, but it's a facade they put. They just sit back and don't say nothing. Why should I say anything? Nobody wants to listen to me. And a lot of people do that. And I'm putting it out there now. That's me. And sometimes I sit there and wonder and say, am I introvert because of the way I was treated? Or was I actually, you know, am I actually just quiet by nature? Because I get a lot of people who say, you an introvert. I don't believe that. And they just say, I don't believe that. And I'm like, I am to myself. But why am I to myself? Is it because of my environment, you know, the world at large, how I was raised, what I was exposed to? Is that why I'm to myself? And I question that sometimes. Because, like I said, I've been overlooked, talked over, ignored, please, just about all my life. Nobody want to hear what Erica got to say? Okay? And that's the truth. That's why when people say, I'm like, I don't know. Go ahead.
No. You finish what you were saying.
Oh, no, I'm done. I'm done because I'll keep
okay.
Playing. So go ahead.
Well, I'm going to. People try and shut us down for a reason because the enemy doesn't want our voice to be heard. There
uh-huh.
is an anointing upon our voice. What God has deposited inside of us, it's going to set some captives free. So
uh-huh.
even though this topic is about the imposter and fraudulent behavior, this is always an opportunity to glorify God and to shame the devil and to expose the works of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what has happened. Look how after all these years, all these women want to come out the woodwork about Bill Cosby and what he did to them. But how come they not being exposed for being wherever they was at with him, doing what they did with him? Because it works two ways. You know, I'm not justifying anything with R. Kelly, but some of these parents took their daughters to these places because it was all about the bling bling. So where's the accountability with that? So I don't want to voice my opinion about why I took my daughter there. I'm going to be quiet about that. But I'm going to tell what he did to my daughter. See, people speak when they want to speak. But I say all of that to say, and it's not supporting Bill Cosby or R. Kelly, but I'm just saying there's many scenarios that people are quiet and then many scenarios where people speak up.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's wrong, you know. But whether it was molestation, oh, and the other thing I wanted to say, look at all of these priests that have touched these young boys through the years. And there was a time when nobody would have said anything. And it took that one person to tell the truth. Now men are still coming forth with their testimonies of how these priests have touched them. So now Catholicism, they have to deal with this. And a lot of priests have lost their jobs. They sat them down. You know, praise God for that. A lot of ministers in the church, when they got found out, they lost their jobs. You know, actions was taken against them. But the point is, whatever the trauma was, especially as a child, that was an attack from the enemy to shut that child down so that they would never grow into the fullness of what God has called them to be and do. So many people have struggled, and they did not bounce back. But, Erica, many people did struggle, and they did bounce back. And, boy, are they using their voice. So we can't get so caught up in what happened to us. It's all about how we respond to what happens to us, which goes back to your question from the beginning. What happens when we take off the mask? So if you are listening and anything being said is really touching you or encouraging you or exciting you, then we encourage you to reach out to us and go a little deeper with whatever questions or comments you have. And I do believe that Alicia wanted to comment on the validation part when you was talking about validating. Alicia, your mic is open.
Okay. Hey, y'all. How y'all doing? I'm good. So when it comes to validation, when you were speaking about validation, that's major because when a person needs validation, it's always extra. Everything is extra. You can say something, and they need so much validation that they'll ask 50 other people and hear the same thing that you just said. And the reason why that's dangerous, because you can fall into the wrong person's hands looking for validation, looking and seeking and needing more validation than what God has already given you. If he says that we are enough, then depending on what the circumstances is, because I too am a survivor of domestic violence. So, but I did not need, and I don't need, validation from nobody to solidify who I am and whose I am. That's very vital and that's very important. Because if you don't know who you are, and if you don't know that you have value, then somebody else can tell you something totally different, and you'll rock with it. And somebody else can tell you something different tomorrow, and you'll rock with that. But when you know who you are, you're like, you know what? I appreciate your opinion, but I'm good on that. And you can turn that down. Because a lot of times people want you to be who they want you to be. That's why they slap you with validation. That's why they really not sure as to, they're not sure who they are. So since they ain't sure of who they are, when you say something to them, that's why they got to go around to, do you think that I'm this way? Do you think that I'm this way? Do you think that I'm this way? They got to get the agreement of five other people to either agree or disagree with what you're saying. And that can be bad because if you don't care what nobody says, it don't matter. I don't got to go ask nobody. If that's how you feel about the situation, that's how you feel about me, okay, fine. But validation, yeah, that could be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
That could be dangerous. And the reason why that could be dangerous is because you could be married and still have not figured out who you are, and you seek validation from the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
When
yep.
God has given you someone to covenant you, but her opinion ain't enough. So since her opinion ain't enough, you gotta get validation from 30 other women or 30 other men.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
And that's where the danger comes into point, because now they know that you're vulnerable in that area. Since that's a vulnerable area, then people, they don't P-R-A-Y, they P-R-E-Y on you now. And that's an issue. Because now you're thinking that, oh, they rocking with you. No, they ain't really rocking with you. They just trying to see how far you gonna let it go.
Wow.
That's deep.
That is deep.
That's deep.
Yeah, I'm sitting there thinking, absolutely. When you think about, and I never thought about that. When you think about that, people walking around talking about, like you said, you just told them, and they're gonna ask all these different people. That is deep. That means people will sit there and play with you like a little doll, baby.
Yeah. So that means that there's still a weak area somewhere that has not been addressed. And instead of you saying, that made me feel some type of way, you're still seeking validation. Let me explain to you why it made me feel some type of way. Now we can have a conversation about it, right? No, we can't have a conversation because you're still seeking validation.
Wow.
But when you have that conversation, you say, okay, this made me feel some type of way. Let's talk about it. What about it made you feel some type of way? Was it the way I said it? How did it make you feel? That's a conversation. But when you got your pride and your ego in the way, you're not gonna say that. You're gonna be like, oh, well, you tripping. That's how you tripping. And then later on, you're gonna say, come back and say, do you really feel that way about me? Make up your mind. How do you want this conversation to go? You know, it's like you want to have a conversation or you want to have an argument. That's the difference.
And, you know, there's so many ways to go with this, but I'm thinking about the context of the mask and the deception and the falsehood. And many, many false prophets, pastors, etc., they have validated people that never should have got validated because they don't have the power nor the authority. Somebody got to hear me. They don't have those kind of credentials. So we got a whole bunch of people that's out here that's operating under falsehood, and it's just a whole nother level of persecution. But when you said you have to be careful of, you know, who validates you. Oh, my gosh. Being dangerous, that's very dangerous. And a lot of people have made serious decisions that was the very piece of the puzzle that caused their own downfall.
Mm-hmm.
And that is serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's exactly what leads to that fake front, because you wanted to look for someone else to validate you, who you are. They told you whatever they wanted to tell you to lead you down the wrong path, and now you walking around afraid to be yourself, don't want to be yourself because nobody will like you based on what somebody said. And it's a whole lot of that going on.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, look at everything that we talked about tonight. The young kids want to be validated. The teenagers,
mm-hmm.
the young adults, even adults want to be, everybody want to be validated. Everybody want to fit in. You know, I don't know who I am. I don't know what my gifts are. Who am I?
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I a female? Am I a man? Am I homosexual? Am I a lesbian? I don't know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Am I heterosexual? You know, I'm wearing this mask. I just don't know. It's a big question mark. People walking around with invisible question marks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who I am.
Mm-hmm. People have lost their lives because of that. You hear about the rate of teen suicide has gone up. They on social media, and because they're not, you know, they're being a bully on social media by, you know, their schoolmates or whatever have you. They can't fit in. You know, they're considered a nerd or they're awkward or whatever have you. And they committing suicide over this.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't fit in. And that's horrible. That is really horrible for young people to commit suicide because they can't fit into some little group of individual of teenagers, their peers, who still don't know who they are at this point. All they're doing is going along with the popular kids, and they're not even happy themselves. So what do? They take all that unhappiness, they don't know who they are, all that awkwardness, and they take it on one little person, and that one little person decides to commit suicide because they can't take it, they ain't fit in, I don't know where I belong, I don't know why I'm here on this earth. And so they just take their lives because of it. Because somebody else said that they didn't belong.
And you know, and that's so, you so in the vein, because every Wednesday at 12 noon, I have Unity in the Community Prayer Line, and we pray
mm-hmm.
for an hour. And I wrote a post about it because it was just so pressing on my heart. Because God, during prayer, we always pray for our families, for our neighborhoods, and our communities
mm-hmm.
all throughout the tri-state area and, you know, internationally as well. Because, excuse me, we do have some people from Africa. They're connecting with us in prayer. But there's three things that was highlighted, and it was the spirit of resistance, limitations, and suicide, the spirit of suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So when something is resisting you, it's trying to prevent you from doing something that you would like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when something puts limitations on you, it's telling you that you can't do this. So whatever is going on in the lives of a person that is depressed, that is stressed out, with everything that we've been talking about, what I wanted to mention earlier was the put-downs. Because when we were talking about people stealing other people's voice, the number one way they do that is by put-downs, constantly putting them down, constantly saying negative things about them. And those negative words, they linger. Sometimes words, negative words, verbal abuse is worse than physical abuse because that bruise is going to heal eventually. But that word, it can linger. Sometimes it's like a dagger in a person's heart, and it slowly kills their spirit. But it's like, how do we bounce back from that? Where do we find the strength to fight, to get back up again, and to say, I'm not going to believe any of these lies. I'm going to believe that I am who God said I am. And what if somebody don't know God like that? But I know mm-hmm. God created me for a reason, for a purpose. Because, mm-hmm. you know, we just all have a purpose. We do.
Mm-hmm.
This is good. This is a great topic.
But like you said, folks are not there yet. You look at some little child or somebody, and you start talking about God, they're gonna be like, "What?" They're not going to understand because they have not been exposed, or they've had faith and lost it. So and they are so turned around, their life is so turned around and so upset that they don't even have the mindset at that point to even think like that. So how do we reach the ones who don't have a relationship with God, who don't know who he is, who are just not in that realm yet? How do you reach them?
Right. And that's why my prayer, and I never finished my comment either. I was saying the resistance, the limitation, and the suicide. And how do we reach them? By simply loving on them, by simple acts of kindness. You know, some people, it may be the smile.
Mm-hmm.
It may be you opening that door. It may be you giving them a cart at the store. You know, it could be the smallest act of kindness, but kindness is very contagious, but kindness releases so much joy. And it's scientifically proven that acts of kindness improves your health. And there are people that take great pride in extending kindnesses to people. And when you look at the people with all of the soup places, the houses that and establishments that feed the homeless, that's out on the street, that they go to them, and then the places, the shelters where the people can come to those. Those people are always smiling. They always happy. They take great pride in serving them. And, mm-hmm. you know, it brings them so much joy. But a lot of times, guess what? That's that open door for them to minister to them. Many
mm-hmm.
people have gotten their voice back. Many
mm-hmm.
people have taken the mask off at a soup kitchen
mm-hmm.
because somebody fed them. And
mm-hmm.
you know what? Sometimes it's not about being all preachy. We have to learn how to reach people in non-traditional ways by demonstrating God's love. And if they hungry, look, feed them. Don't nobody
mm-hmm.
want to hear all about the word of God and they hungry? Feed me.
Right.
You talking about your God, I'm hungry. Like,
right,
what's
absolutely.
Up?
Yes, that's the truth. You cannot beat folks over the head with a Bible all the time. You cannot do that. You can come in here, well, God, somebody just died. You know, they just watched one of their family members or loved ones get shot, and you're going to stand there, well, God has every. They ain't trying to hear that. They just lost their loved one. They are not trying to hear what God has to say about, you know, what he's done, his plan is great, none of that. They don't want to hear that. They need you to wrap your arms around them and let them know that they are loved and you know they're in pain and that you got their back at this time, that you're there for them. That's it. That's it. That's a demonstration. Like you said, you said, I'm hungry. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. They want you to give them some bread and some whatever you got, okay?
Mm-hmm. That's
true.
That's
the truth. Absolutely.
So it's just you and I want to say thank you to Alicia Proby for joining us tonight. We really appreciate your contributions. You messed us up with that validation. We're going to have to revisit that and bring it to the table. Because it's speaking volumes. But thank you so much for your contributions. And the mic is back to you, Erica.
Yes, ma'am. And I don't think I did a commercial where for people to call in. I'm so sorry. I did not do
that. Oh, that's okay.
I'm a lax host, a co-host this evening. My bad. But you can call the number. And actually, the number is wait a minute. I'm looking at you because, you know, I don't have stuff in front of me because I'm one of them. I need to cut it out, get myself more organized. But the phone number is 657-383-1206. That's the dial-in number if you want to participate, you know, in a conversation. And you press 1, and you will be let in to you know, give us your opinion or just join the conversation. So you're welcome to do that. It looks like we do. I mean, do you have anything else to say? Because I'm actually, we touched a lot of things, and we are going to have a part 3. And I'm hoping that Annie is going for the part 3 because, you know, that was her spiel where we, I'm not going to talk about it, but we're going to discuss, you know, we touched a little bit about the young folks.
But yeah, we touched based on it a little bit, yes, but we can save that for part 3 because, I mean, we did cover a lot tonight. So you could do closing remarks and we could close out. Because we don't have any callers on the line tonight. And, you know, it was good. Good job.
All right. Wonderful. So I am going to close out, and I'm just going to give some closing words here. And just to say, you know, at one point, we don't want to get on here and act like we are holier than thou, and that we have never in our lives worn a mask because we have.
Yeah.
And we've done it because we didn't know any better. We didn't know who we were. You know, and I'm still learning. There's a lot that I've, you know, learned about myself and knowing who I am. But I'm still growing and I'm still learning. Things change on a daily basis. You know, I can know one thing about myself one day and the next thing there's something else. You know, and to give an example, I never thought that I would own a business. You couldn't tell me that. Like years ago, I'd be like, yeah, right, okay, if you say so. You know what I mean? I didn't know I was going to be a business owner, but I am now. I didn't know that I had what it took to be one, but I do. You know, I know that now. So we're all a work in progress. You know, it all, once we've been used to being a certain way for so long, it takes a while to strip all that stuff down. You know what I mean? God has a way of bringing people in your life to strip all that stuff away, all those personas and all that stuff of what you thought you were and, what you thought you were not capable of doing, and you find out later that you are capable of doing that. You just can't. It takes, when they say it takes a village to raise a child, they're not lying. It takes a village raise a child, but then it also takes a village to see that child through adulthood, because as we grow, we still need the wisdom of our sisters and our brothers. We still need it. It's not like you make your way through this life alone. You do not. We are here to help one another. So we got to learn how to pass that on. Got to pass it on. Once we strip down and we figure out what life is about and we come out of that, you know what's going on, we got to pass that on to the next generation and teach them and give them some wisdom on how. So it's a work in progress. I don't want anybody listening to think that, you know, we are where we are and we just was born this way. No, we were not. No, ma'am, no, sir. None of us were born like this. We learned because we had folks to come into our lives to nurture us and give us some wisdom and tell us which way to turn and which way to go, and this is how we should operate, and this is what we are capable of. We have folks to help us through that. So that's why we're on here. We're on here to help you through it. We do not want to see folks suffering. And we will not want to see folks out here alone thinking that there's nobody out here who cares, who knows what they've been through. That is a lie. We all have been through something. We're all here to share and help. So if anyone's listening to this, if you need to have a conversation with either one of us, Stacey Lunsford, who is the host of this talk, this eloquently speaking radio show, she's the host of this show, reach out to Miss Stacey. Reach out to myself if you need anyone to talk to. We respond quickly. We will get back to you because we don't want to leave you hanging in any sense of the word. Okay.
That's
Stacey,
right.
Would you like to say anything before we close out?
I just want to say love, peace, and hair grease. We
no,
are funny.
Did you just say love, peace, and hair grease? I know that's right.
We got to bust it up and be funny sometimes, And I just felt the need to say that to just make you laugh and to make somebody else laugh. But I want to say that there is greatness inside of you. And for whatever reasons you have worn a mask and for whatever reasons you have been quiet about many things in your life, this is a wonderful season for you to be your authentic self by taking off the mask and dealing with whatever it is you need to deal with in a safe environment where you can learn how to be the beautiful person that you are. And you are not what happened to you. So if you have been abused physically, mentally, emotionally, sexually, economically, financially, like any way you could be abused, guess what? That's not who you are. Those are just instruments and tools that the enemy used to wound you. But if you would allow God to use them to make and mold you into who he created you to be, you will see that that greatness that I'm talking about is powerful. So you that are listening and you that are listening and the one all the way in the back, I see you. You are powerful beyond measure. And once you take off that mask, whether you take off the mask or not, we see the true you, and you're beautiful. And we love you, and we thank you so much for joining us tonight. My name is Stacey Lunsford, and this is the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. We are praying for you and your family, and we pray that God will continue to heal and to deliver you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. It was a pleasure as always, Miss Stacey.
Yes, Miss Burnett, you did well, and I'll see you next time for part three.
All right.
And you
we get
have
ready.
A have a wonderful weekend, and
you
stay safe.
You
okay,
too.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.